Good evening. Let's prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper by singing in the White Book, 674.
Matthew 26, and I'm starting from 26. As they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it. He gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit, for the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." This is the word of the Lord.
The Apostle says that we should examine ourselves before we take of the bread and partake of the wine. Let's search our hearts now. For this bread, O Lord, we give you thanks. Representing as it does the broken body of our deliverer. You said, "This is my body." Gracious God, as we take this bread and eat it, may the Spirit of Truth remind us of what it is we do, that we proclaim his death until he comes, that we behold our sin, but more gloriously, your grace. And that we be reminded that as we take the bread and eat it, so we are in Christ and he in us. If you know it is for you that our Saviour hung upon that cross, then I would invite you to take this bread and eat it as you receive it.
Six 671.
Amen.
that we just sing verse 1 again, please. Gracious God, we thank you for this cup. We thank you for the wine, the fruit of the vine, representing the shed blood, without which there is no remission of sin, without which there is no hope of heaven, without which there is nothing but the fear of hell. We thank you, O Lord, that Christ Jesus shed his blood upon that cross, our Passover lamb, that the judgment we deserve will pass over us. Receive the cup, retain it, and we shall drink together. The cup of the new covenant. Amen. When I stand in glory, I will see his face. There is no more precious a prospect than that. I'll draw your attention this evening to the first book of Chronicles and chapter 4. First Chronicles chapter 4. An obscure chapter, but an oft quoted passage. On Sunday evenings, I would like to, when I occupy the pulpit, I'd like to consider the great prayers of Scripture. The disciples of Jesus came to him and said, "Teach us how to pray." And he did. And yet we can also learn from some of the great prayers and prayers of the Bible. Normally I'd read the context, but the context here is not especially helpful. So I'm just going to go straight into 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9, and then read the following verse as well. "Now Jabez was more honourable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.' And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain.' So God granted him what he requested." You can demonstrate this for yourself by reading round, but much of the material in the early chapters of 1 Chronicles is to do with genealogy. Much of it is rather dry, the names are rather long. And then we come across this real kind of gem in the middle of it all, the prayer of Jabez. And this evening I'd like to speak about the man, I'd like to speak about the prayer, and I'd like to speak about the God. The man is described in verse 9, and we know very little about him. Had he not prayed this prayer, I think we'd have read the name, but no more. He would just have been another kind of peculiar Hebrew name. What do we know of Jabez? Well, I'm going to take the second detail first, because I think it happened first. His mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Now, we know that Jabez was not her only child. I don't think she's saying, "Well, I expected a very easy kind of delivery, but it was rather painful. I wasn't expecting that." I think she was expecting it, but either the delivery or the circumstances around the birth were especially painful. All childbirth is painful, but giving birth to Jabez more so. We're not told why. We're not told how. Was it a dangerous birth? Was it particularly long and protracted? We don't know. But she gave him a name to describe the circumstance of him coming out into this world. Perhaps the entire pregnancy was difficult. Perhaps the conception. But she named him after that pain. He doesn't appear to have a great start in life, does he? He has a negative name. His mother, who I hope loved him, is forever reminded of the fact that he caused pain. And he must bear that description for the rest of his life. He's saddled with it. He can't get away from it. Could he change his name? I don't think that was a done thing back then. What other detail do we know? He was more honourable than his brothers. It's not clear. Does that mean that his brothers had an average level of honour and he exceeded it? Or were his brothers rogues? And he decided to be something better. We don't know. We know he has brothers. Hopefully they had better names than he. But he is more honourable. Does it mean he was more polite? More moral? More righteous? More godly? It's not clear. So if my first point is the man, it's a short point. I can't tell you very much about the man. He was born in pain, and he was slightly better than his brothers, or perhaps much better. My second point, though, is the prayer. And I wonder if the prayer reveals more about the man than the preceding verse. In fact, while we're here, let's apply that point to ourselves, shall we? More is revealed of our character in what we say to God than what we say to each other. Take the believer who never prays. That tells you everything you need to know. Take the believer who's always asking for things but never thanking. That tells you everything you need to know. Take the believer who is praying for things contrary to Scripture. That tells you everything you need to know. Well, the prayer of Jabez tells us more about him than his mother's choice of name. We are told to honour our mothers and fathers, but in Christ we must not be limited by them, nor even defined by them. If Jabez was going to allow his mother to define him, and he does refer to that name later on, he would never, I think, have prayed that prayer. Likewise, here is a man who is not going to be dragged down by his peers. He's not going to be led astray by his brothers. They might be crooks, they might be dishonourable, but he was going to rise above it. Here is a man with a background. Here is a man with a past. Here is a man with all sorts working against him. But he's a man of prayer. And for that reason, his mother's name, which sounds like something of a curse, his brother's conduct, does not define him. Well, what does the prayer say? What does the prayer reveal about this mysterious man? First of all, we're told to whom he prayed. He prayed to the God of Israel. Well, that's obvious, you say. He lived in days when there were thousands of so-called gods available for your prayers. Some of the names of them have been passed down. Baal, Molech, Chemosh. He prayed to the God of Israel. And there were many living then who thought the God of Israel was not the most powerful God. There were other gods who were greater. If the God of Israel is so great, why do so few people follow him? But he prayed to the God of Israel. Perhaps that's why he was more honourable than his brothers. They prayed to the more fashionable deities of the day, not Jabez. He prayed to the God of Israel. In fact, it says he called on the God of Israel, the one true God, the living God, the God of the covenant, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who made promises and delivers, the God who is compassionate, the God who is kind, the God who remembers. And this is what he said to him. Oh, that you would bless me. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Had that only been his prayer, I don't think it would have been recorded. There are many who try to use God. They see the God of Israel as a means to an end. You pray to God to grow your business. You ask God for a bigger house. You claim from God a dearer car, a happier family, a more exotic holiday. And keep on believing it and he'll give you it. As though God were your servant. And you've simply got to shout the orders loud enough, and he'll come along with a silver tray. Is that what Jabez is doing? Bless me. Enlarge my territory. I imagine he is actually talking about the area of land of Israel which he and his family have got. Extend it, enlarge it, grow it, develop it. And the people of God at that time were an ethnic group living in a geographical area. And yet the prayer also reveals a greater depth of character. That your hand would be with me. A strange expression. He could have said that you would be with me. That your hand would be with me. That you would use me, that you would work with me, that your strength and your power and your provision would never leave me. He goes on to ask that you would keep me from evil. Here is a man who wants to be righteous. Here is a man who wants to walk with God. Here is a man who does not want to go the way of his brothers, nor be as negative even as his mother. Here is a man who wants to live a life pleasing to God. God hates evil, and he loves that which is righteous and pure. And Jabez wants to live a life which is pleasing to God. So he's not simply saying, Lord, give me lots of nice things. But Lord, be with me. Be with me and help me to live a life which pleases you.
in the context of the avoidance of evil and the desire to please God, we can now see why he's wanting to, his territory to be enlarged, and he wants to be blessed. You know, God does bless his people. And I'm not just talking about spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I mean here on earth below. He blesses some believers with more than they need. And I think Jabez here understands that an enlargement of his territory means greater opportunity to serve God and bless others. Bless me indeed, enlarge my territory. May your hand be with me. May you keep me from evil. He who receives much, much will be expected. I think Jabez understands that when he receives the blessing of God, even the physical blessing of being one of the people of God living in that land, it is in order to serve God even more. It's perfectly possible that Jabez lived before money was in circulation. We know, for example, in the book of Job that wealth was measured in oxen, not bags of gold. Certainly not plastic sheets like we have. But I think Jabez understands that if he is to be blessed and his territory enlarged, that is simply more opportunity to serve God. And if we understood that money and time were opportunities to serve God and bless each other, God would be only more delighted to give us more of it. When we become obsessed with it and desire it for its own sake, that's when it harms us, that's when it destroys us. The love of which is a root of all kinds of evil. Wealth opens doorways. It provides more opportunities, both for good and for evil. Well might he say, keep me from evil. I think he understands that if his territory is enlarged, he has more fields, more workers, more cattle, more oxen, the danger is he'll become more sinful. That's why rich and powerful people often get up to more evil, because their wealth provides more opportunity. I wonder if Jabez has understood that for requesting the territory and the blessing, he also needs additional help in avoiding the evil. He knows the strength is not within himself. He needs the hand of the Lord to be upon him. And then, rather curiously, the final clause, that I may not cause pain. How old was he when he prayed this prayer? We do not know. We imagine he's a fully grown man. He has territory, after all. And yet he is alluding, he is referring to that cruel description. Which still weighs upon him. He came into the world causing pain. I mean, we all do. But the natural course of life is that we continue to do it. Our sinful nature, our inherent sinful nature, causes pain to each other and to ourselves. Jealousy, infighting, all those things which Scripture tells us is rotten and wicked. It is damaging and it's painful, and it also grieves God. Here is a man who wants to break free of his past. Here is a man who wants to enlarge his territory, but he's also aware that that might cause him to do more evil. Lord, if you enlarge my territory, give me strength not to commit evil. And Lord, I want to break free of my past. I came into the world causing pain. I don't want to go out of the world causing pain. I don't want to be living in the world causing pain. Oh Lord, oh God of Israel. And yet verse 10 ends with, so God granted him what he requested. So he caused him not to cause pain. He kept him from evil. His hand was with him, and he enlarged his territory, and he blessed him. When we pray, we ought to pray according to his will. Prayer is not, my will be done in heaven as on earth, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when we pray for things which are godly and proper and wholesome and holy, God is delighted to give and to give generously. We didn't have to be told that God granted him what he requested, but the Holy Spirit, when this was being recorded, put that last clause in there to know it was a godly prayer. It was a prayer according to God's will. How do we know what God's will is? How do we know what to ask for? Well, are we seeking things in accordance with his word? Some of you know that we're hoping before long to begin a church work in Burnley. One having begun this year at Hetton in the Yorkshire Dales. Did we seek that and pray for that? Are we praying for that because we want to look good? If so, God will not grant it. Are we doing it because we want to form some kind of religious pyramid scheme? With obviously me at the top, though there are some echelons below which you can occupy and eventually the money. No, if that's the case, God will not grant it. But if we do it because we have a desire that people who are lost be found by the Good Shepherd, that people who are squandering their lives on the cheap baubles of this world, when in fact the very riches of Christ could be theirs, will not God grant what is requested? If we're simply praying for a bigger house or a bigger this or a bigger that, God in his mercy will ignore it. But if we pray to him, oh Lord, make us more like Jesus. Oh Lord, make me more patient. Oh Lord, may your Holy Spirit fill me anew. Oh Lord, may the fruits of the Holy Spirit be more evident in my life. Requests which are far greater. God, I believe, would be only too pleased to grant what is requested. So what therefore does all this tell us about God? Well, for a start, God is pleased to hear prayer. Jabez prayed to him. We're not told that God heard it, but God granted him it, so he must have heard it. God is pleased to hear the prayer of the godly man. He does want to enlarge territory. He does want to bless. He does want to keep us from evil. He doesn't want us to go around causing pain, causing heartache, causing division and strife wherever we go. He does want us to rise above our background. He doesn't want us to be saddled with our previous identity. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. So what became of Jabez? I know not. What became of the territory? There is possibly a reference to the territory elsewhere, but we can't be certain. In what form did that blessing take? What did his brothers make of him? Did his mum regret her choice of name? Did she come round for tea one night and say, "Son, I should have called you something better"? Or did she not? We don't know. But in what is otherwise a fairly dry section of an Old Testament book, we find a rare jewel that continues to shine. Of him we know next to nothing. Of his circumstance, we don't know very much. But we do know that he prayed and God granted it. It's very easy as a preacher to enter a pulpit and make people feel bad. You need to pray more. If the 12 apostles came here tonight and each took their seat, I could have said that and they would all have nodded. Don't go home and pray more because you've heard a cheap sermon. But go home and pray more because the God of Jabez is your God. And he will delight to hear you, delight to answer you, delight to bless you, delight to enlarge your territory, delight to save you and keep you from evil. Delight to improve your character so that you go round and bless others instead of causing them pain. And his hand will be on you, with you, and underneath you. The God of Jabez is our God. Let's sing together 204.
Thank you.
Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.